Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury and welcome to this ASI cast. We've been meaning to speak to Tess Alps on an ASI cast for a while. Tess is the chair of Thinkbox, the marketing body for commercial TV in the UK. What prompted us to ask her a short while ago was a recent article she had written that pointed the finger at advertisers and agencies for taking decisions based on questionable data. It also raised concerns about the quasi-monopolistic nature of new media platforms, specifically Google and Facebook. Richard Marks, our research director, talks with Tess and expands on some of these issues.
Great. Well, Tess, in the article you say that Google and Facebook are really just effectively doing what comes naturally and doing their job, and you really point the finger at the agencies and the advertisers themselves. Can you summarise your concern for us about that?
I wouldn't let Google and Facebook and other tech companies completely off the hook, but I think I addressed the article to agencies and advertisers because I hope they're people who understand they have an interest in getting this right. Google, Facebook, other very large tech companies are hugely dominant and they're sucking a lot of the growing advertising revenue that's going into online advertising to them, making it very hard for other businesses, other media businesses, to earn a living from expanding their business online. And that is a problem for everybody. Now, you could either say those tech companies deserve to be that big. We then just have to manage it through, European legislation to try and stop the distortion of a market and the distortion that monopolies and quasi-monopolies produce. But if we go back one stage, say, why do they take that much money? Do they deserve to take that much money? And what distresses me is so much investment is made using very poor information or information that is provided by those companies themselves.
So to a certain degree, you could argue that the challenge is that those companies are effectively not only defining their own metrics, but they're also to a certain extent marking their own homework. Now, what's the likelihood of them effectively at some point being welcomed into the industry currencies? Is that something they would want to do? Is it something the industry currencies will feel happy about?
I think it's certainly worth exploring, but one has to remember that even now, Google certainly doesn't allow Comscore, which is the research company commissioned to produce the UCOM, the online advertising world's own quasi-JIC. They don't let Comscore tag Google activity directly. Google just provides information that it deems is its information to Comscore. So they're already not behaving like you would expect another media company to behave when working within a JIC. I think we find the prospect of any online video company joining Barb with an open mind. Should Netflix ever start to sell advertising, then we would certainly deem that to be television. And if they wish to be part of that market, they would have to join Barb, really, in order to operate within the television advertising market like everybody else does. And obviously, until then, they don't want to share any information. In principle, I think we would want those tech companies to become members of JICs as long as they understand the rules of engagement.
At ASI, we've been tracking a number of services that have been recently sort of revamping themselves in other countries, equivalents to Barb, like SKO in the Netherlands. And also in the last few months, we've had announcements from Sweden about their new system, and also I think Denmark. What's interesting is that what's common to their announcements is that they seem to be dropping, I'm not putting words into their mouth, but if you read their press releases at face value, dropping the word television and describing themselves as video measurement systems. It's interesting you commented that if Netflix had advertising, that would make them television. I may be taking you literally, but what would Thinkbox is and yours, if or perhaps they're different, but how would you define what is television as distinct from video in that context?
We often say that all television is video, but not all video is television. And to us, well, you can come at it two ways. One is the sort of legal definition. So what does Ofcom think television is? Because it regulates it in a particular way, including non-linear broadcast services. So it has a special way of regulating what they call online program services, or VOD services, I suppose we call them. So non-linear, non-broadcast, but they're still deemed to be television. And the other way of coming at it is what consumers say. Obviously, there's no hard and fast line between some of these things. It is a spectrum, and, you know, go through the colours and various shades of grey. But I think we know what television is when we see it. It's about professionally produced content, at least professionally filtered. So it might be you've been framed, which is user-generated content, if you like, but somebody's selected it, curated it, edited it, put it together into a professional way. And then some of the other requirements are that you are measured independently and impartially. So I think one of our quick checks to say, could somebody be part of Thinkbox is, well, could you be measured by Barb? And that's sort of quite an easy way of saying, yes, you can be within Thinkbox or not.
So given that at least two of the services I mentioned in other countries are measuring, effectively measuring YouTube and Facebook videos within the systems, would that mean that logically their equivalents of Thinkbox would be welcoming them on board? Or is it, because I have a similar worry stroke sort of intellectual question around the position of Newsweek, their members as cross-platform multimedia news brands. But the obvious question is, why isn't the BBC a member of Newsweek? So, and I guess there could be parallels there with Thinkbox. I
don't know, or Sky News, or Channel 4 News.
Yeah, is it just people who were legacy broadcasters, or can you envisage it in the future?
Not at all. We've already got members of Thinkbox who are not broadcasters at all, but might be seen to be platforms like TalkTalk or Virgin Media, and production companies, or, you know, content-based organisations. I think if a country decides it wants to have a JIC that measures video or advertising video, that's their choice, as long as they use the same rules. What's galling at the moment is that we'll have advertisers saying to us, well, I can buy so many views of my TV ad if I put it on Facebook. I can get that for that money, but I can't on television. And we say to them, yeah, but, you know, that's apples and pears, isn't it? A Facebook view isn't like a television view. You're just scrolling past a little moving window. It's more like an escalator panel. It's got no sound, probably. So as long as the measurement is on an even playing field, it's fine to have a JIC that's about video. But television really is about the advertising that comes around content. It's not just about video advertising unattached to content. And when it's attached to content, advertising becomes more acceptable. People are in a more relaxed state of mind. They're prepared to watch for a certain length of time. So it has got qualitative differences. It's brand safe. It's got all sorts of other qualities that something that's just called video wouldn't have. So there's no reason why parts of YouTube wouldn't count as television. Indeed, already, Barb will be trying to measure the ITV content that's on YouTube, you know, viewed on whatever device. So if it's proper TV content, whatever platform it's on, the ambition is to measure it via Barb.
Is one of the other challenges that you face, and I know you're probably fed up with commenting on it on Twitter and various social media, is the journalists, particularly trade press journalists who continually get their definitions wrong in the context of the classic, you know, internet has overtaken television, mixing platforms, yes, and media
and, I mean, devices. Yes, it drives me completely mental. And also what I don't like is the sort of sleight of hand that goes on. So you'll go and see a presentation from a big tech company, and they'll spend the first half of the presentation talking about how many people are online, how much time they spend online, how many people have got a smartphone, as if they want you to think that is only positive for them. Whereas it's also positive for the Daily Telegraph, or it could be positive for a radio company. That, you know, no tech company, no medium owns the internet. All of us are going to make a future using the internet. So I hate it when people put television versus the internet, because part of television is on the internet. television versus mobile. Well, some television is viewed on mobiles. It's nonsensical. We really have to unpick the technology, the device, and the medium itself, or the activity. It might not be a medium. It might be shopping. It might be banking. So what's annoying is then people say time spent online. They might be just doing their Sainsbury's shopping. Does that make it an advertising opportunity? Well, no. So, yes, I'd like us to get back to understanding what a medium is, where there are good advertising opportunities, and stop lumping this thing called internet advertising, which is so varied, from email marketing to search to online video. They're all so different and should not be lumped into a great big pile.
Do you think that one of the challenges that is around at the moment is really particularly for the more established media companies is actually that they're still working out their models for how to make the maximum return from their content on the internet? Because I noticed that I suspect one of the things that prompted your article, and you certainly referred to it, was the fairly worrying annual results that were announced by The Guardian this month. But isn't the problem with The Guardian perhaps quite a specific one, in that they clearly, their strategy was to get 100 million worldwide online subscribers, but they didn't necessarily have a plan to actually work out what to do with those subscribers, that, to paraphrase a cliche, perhaps reach is vanity but profit is sanity. And then equally, you could say, you know, the Times firewall seems to work very well. The Sun firewall saw a pretty quick retreat back to being open again.
Of course, there are huge challenges, particularly in journalism. Journalism of all kinds, including radio and broadcast TV journalism, are difficult to make money out of. But the reason I was so concerned about that press release was that this wasn't about profit for The Guardian, this was about advertising income. So God knows, it's a very long time since The Guardian's ever has had the luxury of talking about profit. It's about managing, you know, having sustainable losses each year that are funded by the Scott Trust. But if it can't even generate more advertising income, even though it's got growing online readership, and you know, at what cost, one doesn't know, it's got increasing readership, increasing reach. That's in a burgeoning market of online advertising. Why can't it benefit from that? It's not that they're bad salespeople, I can assure you. And also, if you talk to most newspaper and magazine publishers, they will say the same thing. It is very difficult to make money online because of the dominance of some of these global tech giants. So this is a structural problem within the industry, that those platforms are becoming very dominant. They're very seductive. They pull people in. So come and put your news articles through our platform. They're doing the same to broadcasters, I can assure you. Come and launch your program on Facebook, and you know, we'll give you most of the revenue. Well, and as soon as you start to become dependent on those routes to market, then the squeeze will come when, you know, you're going through a gatekeeper that maybe doesn't have the same cultural ambitions as you, you put yourself in a very difficult position. So this is where I get worried about democracy, and I know that might sound very highfalutin, but it really is a problem when one is suddenly dependent on a platform to decide what your readers, who've said they want to, you know, they want to subscribe to The Guardian or The Daily Telegraph, they want to read those articles, but now Facebook decides which ones you should see. In a way that, you know, you make your choice, you buy the Sun or you buy the Times, but at least all those different stories are put in front of you, and that's increasingly not the case with personalised news through platforms. So these companies are sucking advertising revenue because they're very big, globally dominant, global ad agencies want to talk to them, they want to be their friends, and at the same time, the access to their readers is going via these platforms, and it's adding enormous power to them without any, well, seemingly very, very few regulations that can manage their behaviour.
Isn't, and I mean, again, to be devil's advocate, because we haven't got a big media, big new media company on the show today, but isn't part of the challenge that we just hadn't seen companies this big before? that, you know, when I started in TV measurement, there were international broadcasters, but really most of the major broadcasters tended to stay within, you know, their national, you know, you had the CNNs and the Eurosports, but largely there wasn't anything of the scale impacting on me. Even News Corp, that had the power that these companies got. So you could argue to a certain degree they're feeling their way in terms of what they can.
We have seen global companies. So Viacom, Turner, News Corp. These are very big global companies, but they have always come under the national jurisdiction. Hmm. So spectrum management, for instance, for broadcasting. So you can be as bigger companies you like MTV, a global brand, but within a particular national territory, you have to, in the UK, be subject to an Ofcom license, and you have to be subject to a broadcasting code. We've never had companies this big that are seemingly so hard to regulate or manage in any other way. This is a challenge to governments. It's not, you know, it's much bigger than just a media and advertising issue. So, in the end, hopefully, citizens will decide what behaviour they deem acceptable. But I'm not sure what the worry is, that they'll never read the articles where this issue is discussed if Google and Facebook don't want them to read the articles about how Google and Facebook should be regulated and possibly restricted. So, you know, look at the telecoms market. The European Commission manages to regulate that market, manage competition, to look after the consumer. They are nowhere near that position in being able to do that with online businesses.
In that context, and we could spin off in a completely different direction, I guess Brexit is extremely bad news in the context of the likelihood of being able to deal on a par with companies and reach the sorts of agreements that would be needed to bring that in. For the UK specifically, we're going to be potentially somewhat outside of the debate looking in.
Don't depress me even more, Richard. But yes, the European Commission is starting to get its act together in terms of trying to manage some of these issues. They're certainly doing quite a lot on privacy and data. I think there's an antitrust action against Google at the moment, trying to look, we've got a problem with media and advertising, but if you're trying to sell something, for instance, if you're a retailer and you depend on Amazon or Google search to get your products to the market, you know, you're going through these enormously powerful platforms, you're rather subject to the demands they make on you if you want to sell via those platforms, and the consumer doesn't even know what rake off Amazon or Google is getting out of that transaction. So I think the European Commission is starting to try and tackle these issues. And if we're not in it, that will be a great shame.
Mm. Well, I mean, to boil it back down specifically to media issues, if I was a friendly Facebook person listening to this podcast, I guess the question I'd have is, okay, so what specifically would they have to do to allay your concerns, specifically when it comes to UK and TV and video, in terms of how they're engaging with the industry at the moment?
Are you talking about what Facebook should do, or what an agency should do?
What Facebook should be doing?
I think Facebook should, certainly at the very least, they should use industry accepted data when they compare themselves to other media. That would be a start. I think they should try and work with the industry to try and, if they want to be considered as a substitute for broadcast TV, it'd be very good if they didn't use terminology that, you know, like a view, but have a range of different interpretations of what that is, trying to create some common language. I think they would ideally fund an impartial, independent body, rather than spending, they've got a lot of money, or a lot of these problems come from the fact that they've got huge margins, not just huge income, but huge levels of profit. And because they've got huge levels of profit that they don't have to spend on content that the rest of us do, it means they can afford to do all those other things. They can afford to place teams inside marketing organizations as they do. So I think at the back of this, campaign is the story about a Facebook team, a Google team sitting within an advertiser's own marketing team. Increasingly, because agencies haven't got the money, another long story, to fund some of those functions, some of that analysis, advertisers are happy to take the analysis, the data, Google Analytics, they'll take all that data straight from those companies. And really, we need to be able to fund a more impartial way of doing such things. So, you know, maybe they could volunteer to contribute money into a pot which will pay for impartial analysis, impartial measurement. That would be nice. That would be a great start.
Okay, well, so getting very specific, because I think we're overrunning slightly, but it's been really interesting. Obviously, our main focus at ASI itself is primarily the measurement of media itself. Mm. From a measurement perspective, what do you think the sort of measurement experts, the agencies and the clients that listen in various countries around the world could be doing to help ensure the future of the media we're measuring? Is it enough for us, do you think, within TV itself to be accurately counting heads, or should the industry currencies perhaps be moving themselves more into effectiveness measures to counter the arguments made by those new media companies we're talking about? Is part of the problem that we're stuck in a head counting phase and leave it to the agencies and the broadcasters to do their own effectiveness stuff, or should JICs just focus on measuring exposure and leave everything out to the rest of us to work out?
I think JICs should focus on measurement, but I'm increasingly coming to the conclusion that we should encourage JICs to measure people. I went through a phase when I thought, isn't it brilliant, we'll be able to just measure devices, we'll be able to measure, have some sort of remote devices to know when people are in a room, people will never have to press a button on Barb. Actually, increasingly, as I see online fraud take off, I think it's much better to be broadly right by measuring human beings than very precisely wrong or very precisely fraudulent, which is what tends to happen when you're measuring devices or technological signals in some way. As soon as you depend on just technology, somebody will come along with some clever way of defrauding us all. So I think JICs should stick with measuring heads, ideally with common metrics like duration of viewing, not just exposure, not just 50% of pixels, have, you know, level playing field head counting, but still counting the heads and not the devices, counting the people and not the machines. Effectiveness, though, ultimately is what matters. And I do believe that the decisions about media investment are really taken on the basis of effectiveness. What's worrying there is how short-term that effectiveness is becoming. So we're seeing fewer and fewer advertisers investing in proper econometric longer-term models. The effectiveness is now being reduced to short-term activity, short-term activation media. Not that TV doesn't do perfectly well, but the long-term benefit in terms of brand building, the future profit you're creating by creating brand equity, brand loyalty, is not being measured so much anymore, is being forgotten and a bit sidelined. And we will definitely all be the losers if we don't. The whole industry will lose if we don't remind people that advertising is for today, but it's also for building a business tomorrow. And the less we measure that, we're all going to be in a terrible mess, I think.
Well, that leads rather nicely onto the ASI conference in Budapest, because one of our keynote speakers is going to be Peter Field talking exactly about that. About
the godfather of effectiveness.
The godfather of effectiveness, the Tony Soprano of effectiveness. Well, thanks for your time. I'm conscious that we normally run to about 10 or 15 minutes and we've gone way over that, but I was also thinking that it is August. And back when I was a kid, the comics and the magazines I used to read, like the Beano and Lookin', always had a summer special that was slightly longer than the average weekly issues. So we might label this as the ASI Cast Summer Special with Tess. And
I'm sorry, I could talk for hours more. That's the tragedy as well.
That's fine. It's been fascinating. So thanks for your time.
Thanks, Richard.
Richard Marks will be picking up on a number of issues that have been raised here in a panel discussion at our International TV and Video Conference in Budapest in November. Bringing together broadcasters, Liberty Global and Sky Italia, industry bodies, AGF and Barb, and new media players, Google and Facebook. He'll be moderating a panel looking to see how far all parties can collaborate towards establishing reliable total video audience currencies. He'll be asking the question, whose data is it anyway? You'll find details of the conference at asiconferences.com.